All right, yeah, so this is my Buffalo Bills football team had such a good season, and even though they got one game away from making it to the Super Bowl, it made for like a great season that we have not had since 1995. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not even really.
I'm loving it.
Are you, do you guys like have a Super Bowl thing? Like, do you do a party or do you go out to watch it or anything? Well, you can you? I don't know.
I don't know if they could go watch it. You mean like at the stadiums or something or?
At a bar.
I don't know anything about, at a bar. Probably. Listen, I know nothing about football.
Okay.
let me just say this. When I got invited to play for the Colts, I did not know they were an NFL team.
Probably did for your nerves.
I don't know anything about football.
No. Nah, you know, we all have our thing. Remember, went to a Melissa Etheridge concert. I don't particularly care for Indigo Girls. When I was writing for She Magazine and, you know, between the Lesbian Lounge and She Magazine, and then we hosted a couple of women fests and, you know, Emily is down in Key West. And
is she?
Yeah. So I've probably interviewed them, talked to them or hung out with them 6 or 7 times. And I can't talk about their music. It's very insane. I mean, 6 interviews. It's like, I know everything I need to know. I just don't, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's brutal. That's brutal when something like that happens. You don't even know what to say. It's like I did the same thing with Jennifer Hudson. I didn't really know that much about her, you know. And I had to interview her and I just felt like, ooh. What are you talking about? But so anyways, I know that I said I was going to be cracking out this new Jim Beam Red Stag Black Cherry whiskey.
Yes. Yes, you did.
But as I was fumbling around a liquor cabinet,
Rocktown
Apple Pie Arkansas Lightning. It is.
What is?
It's like
is apple that a whiskey? Pie
whiskey. Yeah.
That is and dangerous. That's really dangerous.
It is so dangerous. You are correct in every sense of the word because it tastes like apple pie with cinnamon and vanilla ice cream.
Oh my God. Can we get that here? Is that an England thing?
Or? I don't know because believe it or not, I don't remember where we got it.
Oh, wow. Okay. What's the name of it? Black?
It's called Rocktown. Rocktown Apple Pie, flavored Arkansas Lightning, just like Granddaddy used to make.
Wow. I gotta get me some of that.
It is considered a liqueur and it's distilled from grain. And it's produced by Rocktown Distillery in Little Rock, Arkansas. So I don't know how I found it over here. No idea whatsoever.
So then we should be able to get it here.
This is all that's left. I've had it for a few years.
I had something when I was in Tennessee, in the hills of Tennessee, outside of Nashville, we did a tribute to Michael Stansberry, the fallen soldier I wrote Hometown Heroes for. And I was part of a show, a Memorial Day show. And they get right before I was supposed to go on. It was so hot that day. It was like really hot. The guy that owned the property that we had this big Memorial Day tribute to him because he came from Tennessee, from that area. They give me a mason jar with apple pie moonshine.
Okay.
I had never had it and it was cold. And it was so hot that day.
Oh.
And I drank, you know, it hits you, man, because you drink it and you don't realize it. That's why it's dangerous.
It is.
It tastes so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had something similar to that. It was called, what was it? Toffee apple. So it tasted like a Halloween caramel apple.
Oh, wow. Oh. Gotta find me that too. But the moonshine, I don't know what proof that was. Someone made it.
Yeah, like that.
And I have to tell you, I took you know, a swig. Like, I didn't drink the whole thing. I couldn't have, you know, but in fact, I couldn't bring it home with me because I didn't want to have the open container in the car driving through the hills of Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to leave it. It was so strong. I got up to sing and I'm like, I was forgetting the words. It was my song.
Blame it on them.
I was like, what are the words? But anyway, it was my first experience with real moonshine made in the hills of Tennessee. I have to work on this Southern girl thing. You know, I'm still working on it. But in honor of Valentine's Day, because today Tyler is going to be doing a Valentine's Day drink.
Yeah, Tyler's in the green room, right?
Is he in? Okay, yeah. Good. I was waiting to shut my phone off to make sure he got the invite. So in honor of it being Valentine's Day drink show, I'm drinking Goldschlager, which has little gold flakes.
Oh my God. Those are watching. Forever. Yes.
There they are. But that's, if you're lovely. Not watching, they have these little flakes of real gold in it.
Yes. And I remember that being this the whole thing to it. Yeah.
The whole thing. And it's a very high proof.
Yeah, it is.
I guess this is a liqueur. It's very cinnamon.
Yeah.
Also dangerous because I keep it in the freezer.
Yeah. So like, I feel like it was so big for a really long time. And then Jägermeister.
Yes. Yes.
Elbowed it out of the way. Right. And it's like.
Yep. Yep.
But I mean, we have drinks called a Jäger Bomb. It's going to win every time. You know what I mean?
Every time. But you know what? I have a special story about Goldschlager. When I first started singing in the bars, I was like a newbie to the business. And I was 28 years old. I wasn't, you know, when people start out at 12 now, or six. Also
Taylor Swift.
If you wait until you're like 16, you're way too beyond what you should be. Anyway, I was in this bar and I won a contest, a singing contest I entered that night.
Okay.
And I won a bar tab. So they were doing a Goldschlager promotion because that's when it was all the rage.
Yeah.
I did not understand the term blind drunk until that night. I was like, who am I? But it was after I sang, I won, I got the bar tab. It was great. I was so excited. And then they started pouring this stuff. Oh, and I was like, man. Oh my God, I wasn't driving, obviously. I was like, oh, I know where they got that term from now. I mean, I saw things that didn't even happen in that bar that night.
Did you throw up gold flakes?
No, but I did.
Spectacular. Like, I would want to be aware enough to be like, my puke is shimmering.
They might dissolve in your body, but I just remembered things that didn't even happen that night in the bar. So that, I don't even know what that is. I didn't lose my memory. I remembered things that didn't actually happen. So
your subconscious came to life. Yeah. Cheers to blackout drinking. Well, I don't think that Tyler is going to knock us off our keisters with his drinks. Are very subtle, which I
yes.
Love. That's what I love about him, is that he's not going for like, well, a little bit of 151 proof rum. So that's good. So let's bring Tyler in.
Well, let's see what he has for Valentine's Day. He might have one of those.
I told you my mother just loves this kid, right?
He's got a lot of fans. A lot of fans.
He, my mom just, she loves every show that he's on.
Hey, here he is.
Well, hello.
Hi.
How is everyone?
Getting through it, man. Getting through it.
I hear that. Oh, that is awesome.
Well, happy pre-Valentine's Day.
Yes, thank you so much.
What I like about this, Tyler, is that we're giving folks an entire week to be able to practice this.
Exactly.
Nail it for their sweetheart.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, this is going to be fun. They've got a chance to work it up. Nothing too complicated ingredient wise. So everyone should be able to figure it out. But definitely going to be an interesting one to present to your someone.
I like this time of the year. That's fantastic. I just explained to JD that my Buffalo Bills did really well this year, all the way to the game before, And so I had to pay a little homage.
That. Oh, that is good.
They haven't done good since 1995. So we've got to celebrate a little bit.
You got to take what you can get.
I had pizza tonight, you know. I'm missing Buffalo wings, but you know, like I was born in Niagara Falls, which is there in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And, so like my whole youth and you know, and then adulthood was rooting for the Bills, and then we make it to the Super Bowl 4 times and lose 4 times. So
and yet you're loyal.
We are the loyalist bunch. We're called the Bills Mafia. And there's merchandise available. There's like groups and buses and parties and tailgate. Even though like all this COVID stuff was going on, my friends would send me videos that they had tailgate parades. So they would just drive through neighborhoods and like downtown Buffalo, this massive conga line of cars, honking and tooting and all that stuff, instead of being able to set up camp and fire up, you know, ribs and wings and pizza and all that. But, you know, nonetheless, it doesn't, you know, a little COVID doesn't, we alter, we manage.
Isn't that nice? Yeah. Isn't that nice as the human race? We just adapt to whatever's happening around us and we don't stop the fun. We just figure it's another true way to have that fun.
It is so true. I get frustrated really easy these days. Like, I feel like my fuse is so short. And I'm calling it COVID stress because there's no other reason. I mean, I don't have a reason, right?
You it's know? A thing.
So today I was like, I realized that it was at two things happened. Yesterday I wore sweatpants for the first time since 1984.
Wait, is that dressing up? Is that an upgrade?
Down. Dressing down.
Oh, that's a downgrade. Okay.
Working, not working. You know, staying up late, sleeping in, whatever, you know, falling into the whole COVID mopey, yeah, whatever. I've still got up and got dressed in jeans and a normal shirt every day, as if I had someplace to go.
Wow. Power to you. Cheers. Right? Cheers to that. Yes.
And yesterday it all just came crashing down and I put on a pair of like gray sweatpants and I moped around in them all day.
You mope. You tend to mope in this way.
They cause a little bit of moping, but there's nothing wrong with some moping. It's relaxing.
You know you've hit a low, you know, when you're just walking around. Like, oh. So that was yesterday. And I thought, snap out of it today, man. Put your jeans on, get your shit together, find your Buffalo gear, have a good day. And I'm outside, and because the sun actually shone today, first time in 10 days. And so I'm outside, and there's 4 pigeons sitting on top of my shed, and I went, stop gathering. And then I was like, oh,
yeah,
I've got a problem. I need to manage my COVID stress. So
you're into it. Well, yeah. Tyler, before we start, just want to let you know what we're drinking.
Yes.
We know you're going to make us something amazing.
Absolutely. Jay went quintessential classic.
I went classic for Valentine's Day, Goldschlager with the little flakes of gold in it.
Woo! Everybody's favorite.
And Denise equally has something Valentine's Day worthy.
Yes.
Apple pie, Arkansas Lightning made with grain alcohol. It's grain alcohol, but it's classified as a liqueur.
Put enough sugar in there.
I told JD it's like having a piece of apple pie with cinnamon and vanilla ice cream on top.
Oh, that is awesome.
It's redonkulous.
That's the overnight date, Denise, right?
Crack out the good stuff when you're
not driving home tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Once you pass that threshold, we pull out the fun stuff.
That was always why I had a bag of weed in my house. Oh, you shouldn't drive. You've been smoking up.
Oh, no.
Letting all my secrets out here, Jay. Thanks a lot, girl. Thanks a lot.
What I'm drinking is going to be underwhelming to everybody then. I'm just doing a good old fashioned. I've been telling you all I've been drinking through scotch.
Yes,
the Glenmorangie 10. So now I am on the Glenmorangie 12. So,
oh, look at
two additional years. Yep, still aged in bourbon barrels initially, but they finish it in non-sherry casks.
What do I? I have Glenlivet. Glenlivet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. These like the Scottish ones are really strong for me. Like I try to be cool and just like have a sip here and there when we're talking, and I'm like, wow. But I do have some of the good stuff, but then I feel like a jerk for mixing it with a Coke, you know?
That's fine. If it's good, it's good, says the cocktail guy. Yeah. But I've been drinking this 12 year, just got this bottle a couple days ago, kind of tasting through it. And compared to the 10, definitely a little heavier. Those extra years in the barrels definitely come out, and they age it in sherry casks. So, and I'm going to get into the 10 here in a minute because I did use some scotch in this cocktail.
Nice.
Just to be fun with it. But compared to the 10, that sherry note really comes in and kind of makes it a little creamier and smoother on that back end. You still get a lot of vanilla from those barrels and everything. You still get that nice. So it's a Highland scotch, so it's not going to have any of that peatiness. And I think the Highland scotches drink very, very like high on the palate. So kind of light. There's still some density to them, but they don't hit the tongue in that way that other scotches, even the Speysides, which are kind of your Balvenie line.
You nailed it. Like sometimes like the peaty ones, they're not so thrilling. Like all right. That's a good note.
Yeah.
For purposing.
Yeah. So as I've been tasting through, I personally found a very strong fondness for a lot of Highland scotches, and highly suggest them if you're kind of getting into scotch. They have a little bit of that. I mean, it's still a lot of barley in there. It's still a lot of, you know, you're not going to have all that corn and stuff that kind of smooths and sweetens up your bourbons and your American whiskeys. So you still get that nice, like heavy grain in there. But I feel like the Highlands that I've been tasting lately, even Highland Park is another good distillery, but they just hit nicer and a little lighter, almost like an aperitif type of thing. Like you'd have it before dinner and it not like just sit with you through the whole dinner. So.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's nice.
Absolutely.
What I had that I mixed with the spicy Coke, it was the famous Grouse.
Mm-hmm.
Smoky black blend.
Yes.
Wow. With that, those weird Coca-Cola signature mixtures that had jalapeno and all the stuff, and like the two things together, that was a really good drink. That might be up there. My new like kind of like go-to thing, because I told Jay I just like to get the little bottles to taste before I invest, because everything's so much more expensive here.
Okay.
Like, what did you tell me a peanut butter whiskey was?
It's about $28, yes. 28 American dollars.
50 pounds here plus shipping would be 12. Ooh. So now I'm looking at 62.
Wow.
Same size bottle, but she's paying 20. It's tough, man.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's a lot for some peanut butter whiskey for sure.
Honestly. So it's like I need to sample things before I really want to invest in them and know that I'm going to, you know, at least put a dent in the bottle, for God's sake.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. At least enjoy putting a dent in the bottle.
Right. There you go.
Right. Yeah. Oof. So I have a question, Tyler.
Yes.
What does it mean when you say it's a heavier scotch? Does that mean it's it's harder on the, is it more like a bite, or what does that mean?
Yeah. So one of the things with scotches versus when you start getting into bourbons and ryes is they're usually at a lower proof. Because of the time they have to spend in the barrel. So they're usually in your like high to low 40s, whereas a lot of your bourbons and ryes, when you start getting into your hot whiskeys, are up there in your 50s and plus. So because they see so much time in the barrel, a lot of that alcohol does kind of bleed off through the wood and kind of out the atmosphere, or the angel share, as people like to say, where it kind of slowly decrease it so they can get theirs. So when I'm saying heavier, when you get your peated scotches and they have that really kind of peaty, smoky taste, it feels like it sits in the bottom of your mouth. And after you finish tasting it, it's just kind of hanging out for a while. Yeah. You just know that you drank it and it's still hanging out. The lighter ones, I really feel like it feels like you drink it and it almost starts to like aerate very quickly, almost like it's turning back into spirits. Yeah. You kind of smell it a little more as you drink it rather than taste it all the way through.
I like that.
And those are a little more pleasant if you're taking bigger sips. Now the really heavy stuff, if you're having a good conversation, maybe smoking, you know, a nice pack of cigarettes or a cigar or something like that, that can stand up to the other things going on. And it's really nice. Like these Glimmerangies that I had. With a cigar, they kind of fall a little, not flat, but there could be a little more oomph to them. Now I haven't gotten into the higher aged ones, which will probably have a little bit more wood tannin in there to punch through, but they're really fun to drink by themselves, and that's what I've been finding myself do.
That's interesting. Well, you know, done in a sherry cask, like that's, yeah. I love when they are using, like, don't you think that makes the difference in Jameson too, because theirs are in like a cask ale.
Yes,
they do theirs in, yeah, a cask ale cask. Yeah,
exactly. Those, yeah, those finishings are really important. You know, a lot of people, you know, just age them for a long time in the initial barrel, but that finishing, if you leave it for too long, everything tastes like wood. It just does.
Yeah.
So when they do that last little bit, that last selected time, in those other barrels, it pulls in some of those like very residual elements of whatever, whether it's a rum, sherry, wine, ale, whatever they're doing. And it does add a lot of complexity onto that nice strong backbone you got from the original, spirit.
Right. Jay, what were you going to ask?
I was going to say your dad taught me how to smoke cigars.
Nice.
And yes, he taught me a trick that if you dip the, you know, the tip you're smoking, the end you're smoking from.
Yes.
Into the whiskey.
Yes.
Every time you take a draw, you get a little flavor, a little taste of that whiskey.
Yes.
Very cool. It's a very cool tip.
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you that I taught him that. Yes.
He didn't mention that.
Of course he didn't mention that. No, yeah. He was smoking cigars and we were smoking cigars and he found out that I was dipping it in my rum. And I explained that whole concept to him that, you know, you smoke and then you taste. Well, why not taste and smoke at the same time?
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay.
Yes. I'm sure he'll fight back.
I just want both of you to know that I, because I don't smoke cigars.
She's going to get something.
Oh, let's see what we got.
Whiskey lip balm.
Is that a coffee?
Oh, that's cool. Nice. That is so interesting.
If I was going to smoke a cigar, I'd put a little of this on.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. That, yeah, is awesome. I had a whiskey theme going on this Christmas.
Good. Well, me too. On that note, we get into this drink, and I will say, definitely a little bit of influence from my girlfriend here. She loves her scotch, which is why I went with scotch. Sorry to like scotch, but I've got to pick my favorite for this one. And I wanted to do something that's a little bit more similar to what I would normally design at the bar. So not necessarily taking anything major from a classic cocktail, which is what I usually do when I'm displaying or teaching. This is something that I've been thinking about for a while. And my girlfriend, Emily, she likes scotch and she likes Turkish Delight, which is a candy that I don't understand.
So huge over here.
Yeah. She loves them. I tried them. They taste like rose petals and sugar and not my favorite thing, but she enjoys them. So with those two things, I started turning the wheels and everything and trying to figure out where I would like to do it. And I love cocktails that there's inspiration behind almost every ingredient. So one of the things that she really enjoyed in college when we kind of met is she enjoyed drinking Rumplemints.
So
I tasked myself with coming up with something that would allow me to use some sort of Rumplemint influence, that scotch, and something that takes notes from that Turkish Delight.
Jesus Christ, that just put right back into like the schoolyard.
Yeah. So this is going to be a fun one. I had to come up with a name that I thought was fun for it. So I'm going to call it Every Rose Has Its Pour. Just a good little poison and just love song. You know, taking that scotch, something that's usually heavier and you know, so that people are like, "Oh, I don't necessarily like that," and then lightening up for kind of a sweet drink. It all ties into that song and I have a lot of fun with it. So without further ado, I'm going to walk you through.
I can't wait to hear this, man.
It balances out.
These flavors, yeah, that you're talking about, I can't even process how they are going to go together.
Absolutely. And it is going to be complex.
I love that you've designed this around your girl.
Yes.
That's so cool.
I had to for the Valentine's Day cocktail. It has to have
a little bit. You got to up your game a little bit. You got to up your game a little bit.
Yes. All right. So I'm just going to start with just, again, that Glimmerangie 10. Lighter scotch notes, so a little bit of that nice kind of malt from barley and grains. So kind of really even on the palate. But when I drink it, I know that there's the vanilla notes that you're supposed to get from barrels and all that. I taste a lot of like kind of almond and nuttiness to it. which is something that I wanted. Instead of it being that heavy kind of whiskey flavor, I really do. I get some like light almond, roasted almond into it. So I'm just going to go 2 ounces of the old Glenmorangie 10.
And that's going in a shaker with ice.
So this is, yeah, so this is going to be shaken. I am going to throw some citrus in here to kind of balance everything out. So since the citrus is going to make it look ugly no matter what, I'm going to shake it up and get a little faster.
It
faster
does. It's not a nice color, is it? It's so weird.
Yeah, no, and you have all that particulate matter. So even if you try to stir it, it's just going to have those little swirling pieces in it. So shaking it just really emulsifies it, gets it nice and kind of that consistent color at the at the end of it. So I'm just going to use some pretty standard creme de menthe. Just a mint liqueur.
Again, these are all my old
using
favorites.
Classics.
Absolutely. Like classic. There it is. So just a half ounce of that, not trying to get too much, but this that is going to have a lot of, I mean, you're going to feel mint on the end of this one. To balance that mint out a little bit and some of the heat that we're going to get from some of the other stuff, this is just some simple syrup I made. So one part to one part sugar, water.
Sugar,
I use
water,
my
right? Okay.
Kettle and heat it up and go from there. So I'm just going to throw just about a quarter of an ounce in there just to add some sweetness to it. This is that secret ingredient that you get from your Turkish Delight. So it's just some rose water that you can pick up at any international market or wherever you can find it.
Yeah.
Very potent stuff. Very, very potent. You can easily
ruin
like just
tea, right?
Yes. So I'm going to use just what we usually call a bar spoon. Which is kind of an eighth of an ounce, but not even quite that. So just a more than a couple drops, but less than like pouring some in there.
Yeah, because a bar spoon is almost like a baby spoon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, so we're going to go there. Now, all of that, if you were to taste it now, is going to be fairly well balanced, but it's going to just kind of rest on you and be heavy and just kind of hang out for a while. So just to lighten everything up, I am going to put a little bit of citrus in here. So I'm going to go with lemon. Again, my general rule, If it's rum, gin by itself, or vodka, I usually like to use lemon. Or sorry, if it's whiskey, gin by itself, or vodka, I like to use lemon. And then rum, everything else, I like to use lime.
Excellent. I notice over here, you know, they're very particular about their gin and tonics, and they always like the lemon more than the lime.
Yes. Yeah. Lemon. If you're really having fun with your gin and tonic, that lemon really plays off a lot of the aromatic notes that you get with the juniper.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that. I don't know why. I guess I'm just, you know, when I was working at the pub, I was always like, "Do you want a little bit of lime in there?" And they'd be like, "Lemon if you have it."
No, a lot of times you use the lime to cut through a lot of those flavors and kind of mellow it out. So you taste that lime above everything else. The lemon does a pretty good job of marrying with a lot of those aromatics.
Oh, I wonder if
and then just for a color check in, I've got something that's just vaguely yellow. So not too much with the flavor, and to kind of be in time with the season, I am going to throw some Peychaud's bitters in there. Peychaud's again are just going to be aromatic, lighter,
and tiny.
A little bit of star anise in there, but nothing too crazy. So that's going to get me something that's at least a little more pink. And a little more fitting.
Is that like a clove, did you say? Is that a clove? Did you say clove?
No, it's going to be star anise for the Peychaud's. Oh, Peychaud's. Yes. So star anise is going to be kind of a licorice flavor, but not as potent.
Oh, a licorice. Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. So then kind of the part that's the most fun out of this for the garnish here, instead of in the
real ice
garnish,
cube,
I put the rose petals in the ice cube itself. So just a beautiful touch, really fun garnish. I saw it at a bar I was at the other night and was like, I'm stealing that, don't care. They put a bunch of citrus and berries into the ice cube before they froze it. And that's all you do. You take your ice mold, throw some stuff in there, freeze it. It looks awesome, takes no effort.
They do that with hibiscus leaves over here.
Yeah, I know, it's just,
yes.
It's a cool look.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I love that. So you have a square ice cube maker.
I'm sorry?
Is that a square ice cube?
Yeah, it is. I
love that. The big square.
That's like a block.
Yeah, it's just a little silicon mold.
Yeah,
that you just put the water and leave in the freezer. So I'm just going to shake and emulsify everything real nicely.
Can I just tell you, when I used to have to shake a drink, I could never get the things apart.
And that is actually, I'm just going to do a quick thing.
Did it end up doing this, like when you open up, like?
No, it was just trying to get it off and get it. And then finally, one of my coworkers said, bang it where the two things meet on the bar.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is they don't fit nicely. So when you kind of tap it, it's designed so that you create a little bit of a seal. That metal expands.
Right.
And then as you shake it and it gets colder, when the air gets cold, it kind of contracts. So you create a vacuum. So it's really suction together. It's not going to come apart.
Yeah.
Wow.
So right here where they start to meet. So right there.
Where you hit them, right?
This is too far away. If I hit there, it's locked in. Right where it's kind of in between the two, hit right there. And of course, it's not going to go now that I'm trying to show you. But right there, it just pops that seal, lets the air in, and it'll open right up.
Yeah. These are things I never thought about until I worked in a bar. Didn't know anything about this kind of stuff.
And it's one of those that, like, it's always fun when you have a new bartender because, you know, it looks really, really, really simple. And everybody who does it is used to doing it. You've done it hundreds of times. It's super fast. And then you're
like, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, they're like beating on it. And it's just like, you're going to get it. It's going to happen.
That's exactly
right. You can do it.
Yeah, then they round of applause.
It's not super simple if you're not doing it.
If I can get a good, there we go.
Oh, so look at that. So pretty.
Wow. Oh, my God. I love that.
And that is going to be every rose has its core.
Cheers to that.
You know what song is going to be playing on the end of this podcast?
I can only imagine.
We all know.
Freebird. No.
Jay, you might have to play it because we don't have the rights to anything. Only you.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'll get together with Judy, and Judy and I will do a version. And we'll
play
it.
There you go. Like you have all the time in the world.
Right. And all the other things, I'm going to throw that in.
Right? And Super Bowl. Jesus. I mean, come on.
Woo. Oh, my God.
No, I'm not watching it because it starts at 11:40 p.m. over here.
Wow.
Which means I'd be watching it until 3 a.m. about two teams I don't really care about, so. You know,
Tyler, she asked me about Super Bowl parties and anything about watching football. And I know nothing, you know, I know absolutely nothing about any of that. I told her when they asked
just
me,
went like,
when they asked me to play for the Colts, I did not know they were an NFL team. I'm like, is that a college team? I was coming back from a trip in Georgia with the band. And so I asked the guys in the back. They were riding in the back of the car and in the back of my truck. I said, "Hey guys, this person that wants to sing my song, she's from the Colts, the Indiana. Is that a college team?" And they're like, "Are you freaking kidding us? You really not know who they are?" I'm like, "I have absolutely no idea."
Imagine if you hadn't asked that question, and on the way there, you kind of thought you'd be going to like a little league field.
Right.
And you showed up at NFL stadium to play to like 40,000 people or 50,000 people.
That is so funny.
Isn't that funny? How ridiculous is that? Because I don't know. It just came. But I love your drink. I love that you used your girl's favorite ingredients. That is so...
I love
like that alone. Is he not the perfect man?
He is the perfect guy.
Your mom and dad created the perfect man.
No.
It's amazing to me that all those things go well. Like I always in my mind thought that mixing a cocktail with, scotch, like I just don't picture that in a cocktail. But
I agree.
Right? So amazingly, like everything that you put in there and explained why with this particular, especially with this particular scotch, it makes perfect sense, but it kind of blows your mind a little bit if you thought about putting all those things together and taking a sip of it, you'd be like, ooh, but it, wow, like I would kill to taste that.
And it comes out, it's actually really fun. It smells scotchy. Like a light scotch, not that peated scotch. It doesn't have that smoky element, but like you really get the scotch on the nose, but when you taste it, it's fun. You've got a little bit of that whiskey backbone, but again, scotch, especially lighter scotches in a cocktail, don't hold up like some of your bourbon. So it's not going to be a very heavy, like I would give this to somebody who wasn't a whiskey drinker.
Right.
Didn't like a heavy whiskey.
That'd be amazing. That's so cool. All right, you guys, I have a question.
Yes.
That I think, you know, being that we're very much into the drinks and the cocktails and everything, and that we have about 5 minutes left. Is there a particular alcohol when you were younger that you drank that made you so sick that you can't drink it as an adult or smell it or anything?
Okay. So the answer is no.
Well,
the fun fact to this is I was in college and I was at a party and there was this dude who was hitting on one of my female friends and trying to feed her drinks, and she didn't want to drink anymore. So I kept taking all of these shots of basically Rumplemints. A lot of Rumplemints. And I woke up the next day and had the worst hangover of my life and was like, well, there goes Rumplemints, like just ready for this to be the end.
Went to
a party. Yeah, and I loved it. So I went to a party the other day and somebody handed it to me. I didn't think I took a shot of Rumplemints and there was no issue. I was like, I'm good. How did this happen?
Oh my God.
So I walk into one of my favorite restaurants a week after that. And it was called, I forget what it is, but it was a little like Greek pita place that we all studied at. Walked in, opened the door, smelled it, and threw up. So I still can barely handle the word tzatziki sauce, let alone when it's on something. But for whatever reason,
so your
my brain decided
from the food smell, not yes, the booze.
Yes. Amazing. So my brain decided that it was definitely the pita that I had earlier that day, and not anything to do with the amount of rumplements.
Oh, that is hilarious!
Lucky for you, that happened, right? Lucky
yes.
for you.
Yeah. So mine is Southern Comfort because. When we were younger, you know, and this was probably before I really started like making money working at my mother's restaurant. So it's like, you just had like a couple of bucks here and there, and it was the cheapest thing to buy. So you get it in like, you know, the hobo bottle that's like this big.
Right.
And with a straw to have the maximum effect.
There we go.
And, I got so sick on it. I just threw up on, I can't remember whose car just tossed it. And, to this day, I can't smell it. When I used to have to make a drink in the bar with it, I have to keep it like really far back. And so that was my one. What about you, Jay?
Well,
was it the Goldschlager?
It was not. No, before you got on, Tyler, I said Goldschlager. It did not take away my memory. It just made me remember things that didn't actually happen.
It literally released your subconscious.
It was not the Goldschlager. It was Yellowtail wine. We had a big bottle of it. Kelly and I, back when I was writing for one of my CDs, it was my birthday and I was at her house and she was writing the song with me. It was so funny. I was just remembering this yesterday. And I'm like, I'm making you, like, we're writing the song, right? And I'm like, you're going to be co-writer on this song. We're like so wasted. And then we go get another bottle of wine because we didn't think we had enough. So we run to Winn-Dixie, which is like right next door to right where she lives. And we get the other bottle. And then we're like, should we have gotten two bottles? But thank God we didn't. The next day, it was my birthday. I was going out to dinner with the family. I'm like laying on the couch, like with an ice thing on my head. And I'm going, did anyone get the name of the train that ran me over last night? So for some reason, like a Yellowtail type of a wine is, I don't know if I can say name brands, but I mean, it's just because I drank too much of it. Really was the thing that I could.
Wine. It was the consumption.
And it was the consumption. And then I did once it happened with Fire Jack, but I can easily drink Goldschlager, which is cinnamon also. So I think I can slide back into that like you did, Tyler. My brain will tell me something else, so I can
absolutely
have Fire Jack again.
I like the fire better than the Fireball. I like the Jack Daniel's fire better than Fireball.
Fireball.
Really sweet, like really.
Yeah,
sweet.
And Fireball. They use glycerin in there as well to kind of keep it so it can be super chilled and give that like texture still while it's super cold.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Dad loves Fireball. It's his favorite.
I know. Understand.
It's so funny. That got big after I left. I liked the Jack Daniel's Fire because I just felt like it was less sweet. And I think, you know, sometimes I do, because I'm diabetic, I always get diet this and, you know, get like artificial sweeteners, Truvia, Stevia, like things like that. So I'm well aware when something has real sugar in it, you know, like it actually.
Right.
So yeah, all these years now, I don't really like real sugar. But yeah, I do think that was a huge part of why I just felt the fire, straight up. Yes. JD Fire was a way less like candy, you know, like Fireball tastes like Red Hots.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, well, your dad got me started on Fireball in Savannah when we all went to Savannah. And I was like, what's that? I'd never had it before. So Fireball was the one that I just indulged a little too much with. But
I didn't even look at the thing when I drank it. What's the proof of that? Is it?
I think it's right at 40 something.
Yeah.
I should know this. That's my job here. I should definitely know what I'm working with. I'm going to do the quick, the Google reference because I'm intrigued now.
Well, see? You know what? I think
then in post, you can just say that I said this first.
Right. It'll be all yours. But I think the alcohol percentage is different than the proof. Like if it's around 50, it's 90 proof.
Yes.
If it's around 40%, you know, 30%, it's a little bit, it's 80 proof. I think that Jack Daniel's is around 80 proof.
Yeah.
I happen to know these things.
There it is. No, that's a very good point. So proof is basically double the percentage.
Right. Is it? Okay. And
that's what it comes out to. So Fireball is going to be 33%, which makes it 66 proof.
Okay.
And there's a lot of stories behind proof, but roughly proofing something, the story that we like to tell is when sailors were receiving their rations of rum or spirits, they wanted proof that it wasn't diluted from the quartermaster.
Oh.
So in order to give proof on the boat, they were not allowed to carry around anything over 50%, because at 50% is when your liquid can put out or can still burn on gunpowder. So to prove they were getting their rations, because it was cut, those rations were cut at one point. They would show that the initial barrel, they would pour on some gunpowder and show that it would light, which means that it was at least had proof of that. And 100 proof is 50%, which is about where that would happen.
He nailed it.
Oh my God. I love that you know that. I love that you know
20%
that.
Alcohol, 40 proof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So this is wimpy. This is really wimpy.
Yeah.
You know, I knew, I knew. There was a difference, but I didn't know why. I love that you know what that means, because I didn't really know what the difference was between proof and percentage of alcohol.
Yep. Tyler, is ABV different?
Alcohol by volume.
Okay.
So percent. So when we talk about percentage, we're saying the percent of alcohol in the liquid by unit volume, because alcohol weighs less than water, sugar, yada, yada, yada. So if you did it by mass, it wouldn't be anything that you could tell, because chartreuse, which is one of my favorite things, green chartreuse, which is very syrupy, 60% alcohol by volume, but drinks like maple syrup thickness and lights and burns and has all these sugars.
Oh, gotcha.
But so if you did by mass, it's probably only, let's just say 20% alcohol by mass, but a shot of it is still a heavy shot.
Right. Right. Because like all the beers, like when I, mm-hmm. when I worked in the pub, everybody like wanted to know the ABV. Like when we would put new ales on every week,
yes.
You know, you put the label on the pump that you're going to be pulling. So the label's there and it always had the ABV, and a lot of it was priced different, you know, if the ABV was higher, you know, like if yes. the ABV was like 3.5, it was going to be £3.50 for a pint. If it was 4% or higher, then it was going to be $4.95, $4.50, yep. you know, like it. So yeah, it was priced differently based on the ABV, but it was weird. Like people would ask that question. Like they wanted, mm-hmm. they would look at like a porter and be like, you know, that was 7% and they'd be like, oh, I can only have one of those, you know, but if they were drinking like Carling or something, and that's like a 3 point, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
ABV lager, they could drink them all day long.
Exactly. And yeah. and that's a lot. Even when I go to like craft breweries or when I go to tasting rooms or anything like that, it's important because I want to know what order to taste things in. Because a lot of times a higher proof has a stronger flavor, which deadens your palate slightly. So I want to know the things I want. Yeah. Now this isn't good for my end, but also how long am I drinking? Because if I'm here to have like 3 or 4 pints, I probably shouldn't start with your 10.5, you know, double yeah. barrel aged yeah. single. Like I should probably wait on that one.
Yeah, so my friend brought a Belgian beer back and it was 11%. Mm-hmm. Like, damn.
Oh.
What? Yeah. But and I cherry, I'm going to start bringing on some like beers because
yes.
there's, I got a couple, there's a brewery over here called Tiny Rebel. Ooh. And I swear to God, they make the most intriguing flavors of beer. Like I got one that's called Stay Puff and it's a mm-hmm. marshmallow stout.
That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Like,
that's and
you actually taste it. Like, you could taste the marshmallow and everything. And they just brought another one out for Valentine's Day. And mm-hmm. it's a cherry cream soda pale ale.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm definitely going to work those to the show somehow.
Absolutely. Well, that's
we
good.
We are not because... just the whiskey lounge. We will take the gamut.
Yes. Yeah.
There's also beer cocktails.
So Tyler, do you have plans for Valentine's Day? Like, is your girl home? Is Emily here or is she away?
So here's a little snippet into the service industry. Valentine's Day is going to be one of our busiest days. So her and I will both be working. Taking care of everybody who is happy, happy, happy to make that their special night of the year.
Right.
Yeah. So that will be one of the busiest, wildest, longest nights of the year every year. So yeah. we are both, so I can tell you that for Valentine's Day itself, we will be doing nothing. However, for that Tuesday or Wednesday when she is off, we will probably be going to one of these places that people decided to flock to and have massive wait times and be put on this floor and just enjoy being in each other's company. Also,
I love a lot that. Of things. So you'll be beating the crowds, but like the opposite. You're like after the crowds. You'll
exactly.
be like following the crowds. So then
yeah,
you don't
have
to
smart. It's smart. No
I
wait.
Like that. That's smart. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, no queuing, as they call it over here. There'll be yes. no queuing for you. Yeah.
No, not at all. but I'm grateful for everybody who will be queuing.
Yeah.
I'm very, very, very pleased with that night. It'll be a good time. We'll have
yeah, fun. I got nothing. Jay, what about you?
Right now, I got nothing. Yeah. Don't know.
For St. Patrick's Day, we'll need to know how Emily yeah, liked her Valentine's Day.
So she definitely didn't like it like I liked it.
with the big day coming up for all drinks.
And we don't need an Irish car bomb, like we all know those. No, we don't need a Jaeger bomb.
Also highly insensitive, so I'm not gonna go there either.
Yeah, right.
But what I will say is considering that I am also using this series of podcasts and the way that we started it as a very good just like kind of brief manual into various whiskeys, which has been fun for me because I like rum and gin. So having to force me to do research and really understand and fall in love with whiskey
cool,
is
right?
a lot of fun. There will definitely be something on theme with what happens in the middle of March.
I'm thinking that they might wait until after St. Patrick's Day to lift our lockdown. Because they're supposed to be revisiting things the end of February. And I'm like, they're not going to risk everybody getting together for St. Patrick's Day.
you kind of got to wait for that one if you're keeping
it. It'll be shut in until friggin' April, I feel it.
Especially
feel it.
Especially with that being the end of people not seeing each other for over a year.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like a massive reunion.
Oh, it'll be crazy.
WhatsApp groups are going nuts already talking about, like, remember last year when we did this and we did that, but, and we'll have another reunion and we'll have a reunion. I'm like,
Tyler, are you going to miss Savannah for Valentine's? Why do I keep saying Valentine's Day? We haven't even had that yet. And I only had like this much Goldschlager. It's not that. Are you going to miss Savannah for St. Patrick's Day? Because that's like a huge day for that city. Are you going to, do you miss it? Or did you not do that whole scene?
No, definitely did that whole scene. That's a whole podcast in and of itself, I would say.
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, rushing the squares at 2-3 a.m. right when they open to get your spot, and then go from there till 2-3 a.m. on the other side.
Wow.
Massive, massive fun time, beautiful memories, beautiful people. This year, we'll probably forego it. Still might go back. Because it's just a good time to be in Savannah, but just out of, you know, respect for my own health and well-being, we'll probably participate.
All right.
But I cannot wait till we're back.
For those people that don't know, Savannah downtown, the historic district, is an open container district. So it's a very popular place for St. Patrick's Day, and they have parades and everything, which is why I never went there during that time, because I like going at Christmas time when no one goes there, but it's so beautiful. The city, Denise, is literally like a Hallmark movie, right?
I know.
Right,
Tyler? My mother,
everything is decorated.
It's amazing.
They have the street lights with the strings of lights down the street. And it's amazing.
That's the benchmark.
Picture a Hallmark movie, Little Town, and that's Savannah.
Yes. That's it. Like to the extreme. It is the extreme.
But it perplexed me why that wasn't the most expensive time to go, because the hotels were the cheapest at that time. But St. Patrick's Day, it's like everything breaks loose. So I was just wondering, but anyway, I'd love for you to come back and do us a really cool St. Patrick's Day drink, because that is the day, right?
Yes. There will certainly be something tied to that date. I am excited. I have something in the works already. It is a beautiful time to have the discussion about Irish whiskey, period.
Yes, indeed.
Now, but definitely something that is very fun. Again, Scotch is something that would take its own podcast as in of itself. I know I like to try to plug it here and there, but the complexities and the different styles are insane. But Irish whiskey is something that is very, very cool. I think it is very misrepresented in a lot of places and underutilized. So I am thrilled to see what we can
do. My life changed when I visited the Jameson distillery. Changed.
Wow.
I remember drinking an Irish coffee with a friend of mine that she would literally make a pot of coffee and drink Irish coffees all day long. She was constantly smashed. Functioning alcoholic though. She like first introduced me to the Irish coffees, and like she would whip her own cream with the whisk.
Wow.
Yes.
Seriously.
Absolutely.
Like that, you know, and I was like, oh, this is really good. But I never, you know, I was like, but a lot of effort, you know. But after we went to the Jameson factory, I'm like, I'll put that effort in. Damn it.
Yeah,
I will do it now. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is, but I'll tell you, I did not know a thing about, you know, I feel like we seriously get lessons. We get like big time lessons from Tyler, because before we started this podcast and I was just like sipping here and there, I didn't even know that whiskey, bourbon, scotch, I didn't know they were all in the same family. Like I thought each one was like except, right? Like who the fuck knew what rye was? Like what? Yeah. this has been a lesson even tonight. Like all these things that, you know, like besides the, you know, you have a little bit, we have a little bit of knowledge, like, you know, mm-hmm. single barrel, like aged, you know.
Right.
This is going deep. We're doing a deep dive. doing it.
Yeah, we are. Yes, I'm tricking you into learning. It's working.
Right?
I love your scientific approach to your drinks. I love the way you understand why they work together. And I didn't know the terminology of notes for the flavors. So that's something I love. I love that for the musical part of it.
Started with all music.
And exactly. I love it for the music part of it. and the over the top is the rose petals in the ice cube. That is like, I need to go get one of those ice cube things.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're like
the sphere, the round.
Those are really fun.
Yeah.
The ice cube makers, they're awesome. And they're, you can find them for anywhere from $3 to $12 or whatever. And they are so worth it. They're just fun. And what I personally do is I have an extra little ice tray in my freezer. Yeah. And whenever I think about it and open my freezer looking for ice cream, that's usually not there. And I see that the ice cubes are frozen. I just pop the ice cubes into that little ice tray and then make new ones. And then over the course of a month or so, I just have a full ice tray of big fat cubes. So then I have
that to. That's awesome, man. Yeah.
So did you invent the rose petal in the ice cube? Is that like your idea? Like, will you?
That was my idea. I cannot say I invented it. I am very hopeful that sometime in the last 20 years, someone has thought to put rose petals in an ice cube.
Well, they're doing hibiscus over here. So that I'm sure the rose petals are next because rose gin is big over here.
Ooh, that is cool.
I have a bottle of it. I think it's by Horticus.
Can you show it real quick?
Yeah.
Is it readily available?
Oh my God, it's so good.
Sorry, personal research. I'm getting selfish now, so the rose petals were definitely something that I thought after I saw it. I literally was at a bar earlier this week, had already kind of thought of the flavor of this cocktail and saw them put a bunch of things. Ooh, Hortus.
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
Yeah,
that's a pretty bottle.
They just burst on the scene and they've got the rose and then they have rhubarb.
Cool.
They have some really funky, amazing gins. Yes. And I don't know. I probably clicked on something or looked up something, but they come up in my Facebook feed.
Nice.
30 times a scroll, you know, but every time it's a weird, different one. But this was a gift from one of my coworkers that came to visit two Christmases ago.
Okay, nice.
I will have to try that. That's very cool.
Yeah, and like you were saying, the rose water is so potent, you know, and so I thought that I really had it in my head that this was going to be like drinking old lady perfume. Mm-hmm. It is not. It's delightful. It's really good. Awesome. Yeah, and we also have Parma Violet.
Ooh.
Yeah, this was...
Here's me just nerding out. Like, ooh, what is this? I haven't heard of it. I don't like that.
That sounds good, but I never knew you could buy rose water either. So that's pretty cool.
Yes.
I want to get some of that.
Yeah. So stateside, you can usually find them at international markets or Mediterranean. Ooh. Oh, that is cool. Parma Violet.
Yeah. Nice. Does that taste like violet?
I don't know about you, but like when I was younger, my mother always had those violet candies that
smelled
like soap.
Sen-sen.
Yeah. Sen-sens were, but these, that's exactly what you smell, but it doesn't taste overpowering like that. It's really
nice. I need to get some of that stuff too. I'm gonna show you that.
Gemma's favorite is Earl Grey.
Oh, nice.
Novelty. That's good.
Very British of her.
Very British of her. She is a tea connoisseur. We have one cabinet that's just tea. Different loose teas and tea bags and stuff. So she's a tea fanatic.
She lives up to that heritage, her heritage.
Yeah, she's very British. She's Australian, but she's very British. It's a family thing. I think her granddad was born in Leeds. As a matter of fact, we just watched a special on the Lake District. It's one of the we wanted to go up north and go through the Lake District and the Yorkshire Dales and the Bronte sisters' mansions there and all that.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that was one of the things that we had planned on doing, but we'll probably have to put off until next, you know, yeah, after summer, maybe, probably better after summer. But yeah, I think we have this new thing now where you can put your age, your health, and something or other into this thing, and it'll kind of calculate when you will be able to get your vaccination.
Oh. So
mine, because I'm like an old hag, is March. And then Gemma, that's March is pretty good.
But wait, you cannot be an old hag because I'm older than you are. You cannot be an old hag. Take that.
You guys should just drive through and get your vaccinations. I had to be an old hag to get this soon. So, but she's like, I'm just going to come with you and see if I can get it because I don't want to wait until May. Yeah, it's okay. I'll say you're my daughter.
There it is.
My daughter needs a shot.
The rights of being with a younger woman, right?
Oh, yeah. Rob the cradle. It's karmic. It'll come back at you. All right, you booze hounds. Let's wrap this up.
Absolutely. So once again, I've got to pace myself way better through these lounge sessions because I'm always empty by the end of it.
Me too.
Yeah, my God.
I didn't start.
You need to play catch up. You just drink too slow. That's it.
I topped off. I got to tell you guys. Like, I topped off.
You sneaked a top off.
I did.
Well, thank y'all again for letting me hang out in the lounge. I look forward to seeing you again.
We love you, Tyler. Thank you so much for doing this.
Awesome.
Thank you, Tyler, again for coming.
Absolutely. Until next time, thank you.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Just like every night has its dawn, just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song.